adjusted, aren't they?
Fractional numbers are adjusted by synergism, which is the which what makes them better than the ones in contender scan, because contender scan are purely raw. So they've got an adjustment factor. You know.
Your turn time readout and this two turns and this turn time, the second fraction hidden energy, are two different things or the same?
No, they're two different. The turn time, as it's referred to, is the second fraction of a race.
Yes.
The T in our readouts is turn time formula, which is first plus third divided by two plus the second divided by two, and weighted by early phase, sustained phase, or factor W, whichever you selected as your ranking. That's the only formula in synergism that is altered by your ranking choice, turn time formula. Turn time formula is an abbreviated deceleration formula. It's trying to show us which horse is decelerating at the slowest rate.
The very first race we did, the second race, we waited on W, so let's look at what turn time does. The best turn time is the horse that decelerates the least. The deceleration program just by itself picks astronomically high place horses. Horse that decelerates the least, the even paced horse, relative to its velocity, places, and the reason we didn't put that in the place manual is because you'd have to have a to support it. And until synergism came along, we had readouts, but we didn't put them in any of the program. First race, who has the best T? What did it do? The first race in this manual, today's workbook. Placed. I haven't looked at these before, so let's just do them together. Who has the best T in this next race? The horse that won. The second best belongs to the horse that placed. Who has the best T in the eighth race on 10:30? Hero. The winner. In this case, E10 had the best, second best, E10, but the problem with E10 was, you see, the problem with E10 is that it didn't have any velocity. So you throw out E10 and individual, now what's the place horse's rank? Third.
Harry, let's stop here for a moment. Why do you guys think that E10 got such a good turn time?
Your machine, you punch sustained phases of the ranking.
Uh-huh. No. No, this is ranked on factor W.
This is all ranked on W.
All ranked on W. The reason you got such a high, inordinately high, based on the W turn time is he made one move in the race in the second fraction. He's got a very good second fraction. It's higher than his first fraction. Okay? That's the reason his turn time came up. So that, now you go to the next one.
The horse didn't have a whole lot of velocity, but it decelerated. Its deceleration was not very bad because it didn't have a lot of velocity to accelerate from, and it did accelerate actually in one fraction. So you got to look over here and say, "Whoa, this is a legitimate three." It's the two horses, three horses that are better than this in
NW.
Huh?
When you use the ranking, if you figure all the horses that you're taking are the fast performances, the majority of them are early, you punch early as the factor W? Are you hoping that the track is running early?
No. If your model shows you the track's running early, then you rank them on early. Okay? The reason for that, one is psychological. Okay, so that when you get the rankings and the printout, you've already said to yourself, my early speed horses are the horses that I favored to win this race. Okay, so everybody likes to see their horses on top, right? Well, when you say early, it puts them on top. Your number one early horse is the first name you see in the rankings. okay? And your number two horse is the second early horse in the ranking. Now, to add value to the turn time, we also then add early pace, because that's what you perceive to be the bias of the track, to the turn time formula as an additional weighting. And that's the only one that has any weighting, is the turn time formula. Okay? You'll know by keeping your model, when you're right, you're able to pick the bias of the track, and you weight these tracks right, the turn time could be very predictive for you in both wind and place, and may help you improve on your exotic wages. You won't know that until you start tracking your mile. And I would suggest that you do this. In the square or the little box that you mark your rankings for your turn time, I put a little slash, and I put the horses ranked, and I would also put in whether you ranked it on W or early sustained to check and see how you're doing picking how the track runs. Right.
Now,
I usually have one W if you ranked it on W or 2S if you ranked it on sustained.
You go out there and the first race runs early, then you rank everything on something else.
Well, if you've made the judgment in the morning when you're doing the handicapping that the track is running early and you get out there and it's not, you have lost the value of your turn time waiting.
And that's all.
That's all. Then all you have to do is just rethink your process and look down and you say, okay, the horse I have on top is not really the horse I want. I want the sustained pace horse. And you go down and column and look for your sustained pace. You don't have to rerun the race. Just go down and look in your sustained pace column and find your top two sustained pace horses. And then ignore your turn time under that, because the decision you made about how the track was going to play was wrong, and you've now wiped out the value of your turn time. When you're right, it should be very
good. If you're indecisive, which apparently you're kind of indecisive because you're going to let this first race, you're going to change your whole way. I think you're a little bit indecisive, but always use W until you get decisive. You see a marked situation. Now, you won't have as much of a marked situation if we have weather like we did for the last 2 weeks. You're never going to really know. But if you have a Santa Anita meet that's running early, 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 you can count on it. But when it starts doing that thing, you've got a perfect thing. Run it through W.
One of the things that I've noticed that maybe Bob can comment on is that synergism doesn't need quite as much of bias. You need a real strong bias with synergism before you use it. I find that I rank much more on Factor W now than I used to.
I've ranked almost all of my races on Factor W. It's all over the United States. I'm getting reports from people that are keeping their betting models, and they're calling in and they're saying Factor W with synergism just seems to dominate these races, regardless of distance or surface.
And why? It does not warp the bias. The bias is what the bias is, and it's reflected by the numbers. It doesn't work by weighting it.
Well, I run 15 races in a row, and 13 of them were either one or two factor W, and the other two were only threes. I mean, how strong can you get?
Next race. We threw out Recon, so the place horse also has a 3. The winner has the best turn time, and the show horse has the second. You don't expect miracles every time, but it's still in the turn time in the 8th race. Who has the best? The winner. Well, relative to the other factors, last and the horse that showed and the horse that won, there's no sustain. You got a turf race here, and last has no sustained pace. Dang has no sustained pace. It placed, but it had all the early. A turf race, you won't get the. You will not. Remember this: most turf races will not give you the winner by the best deceleration, because the deceleration is markedly turf-oriented, and a turf-oriented deceleration pattern is up, down, and kind of steady. It is essentially the jockey for position in the first fraction. Only when you have a wire-to-wire type of velocity horse will you get early pace in a turf race? And even then...
Let me give you my experience with the turn time on the two-turn draft races, not the six-and-a-half down the hill, and not the occasional sprints that they have in Hollywood Park. Here on the West Coast, if I rank them on W rather than sustained, turn time for me has become very difficult on the two-turn draft races here on the West Coast. Now, I don't know if that's true Midwest or back east or not. They'll have to determine that for themselves. But on my own handicap, go to sustain like we did in this race. That sustained, ranking sustained here, for some reason, takes away some of the value of turn time. We've gotten away from automatically ranking turf races on sustained. We all know, we all say on sustained based on the grass. That may be true, but my research recently over the last 9 to 10 months has shown the factor W is becoming more and more important in this program. I don't know about phase three because I'm not using phase three. Actually, phase three, it might be the other way. When I was using phase three, I always ranked the grass races on sustained. I'm ranking him on W here, and it's increased the value of turn time. Now, that's my own experience. You can follow it through for yourself and see how you do.
Remember, we already got rid of this couple of these horses that didn't make any moves. If you had weighted this by sustained pace, it would have enhanced the sustained pace rating of Pado and Royal, which you don't want to do. And the horse that won it still had the best sustained pace without gilding the lily. That's why W is better in this case. You've already got sustained. You know that turf races are going to be won by the better sustained horses, usually, or the horse that's extremely early who hangs on to place, or sometimes they hang on to win, rarely. So you already know that, so why rank it, why gild that lily? Look to see what its overall performance is, and W ranks and weights the best overall performance. So you got your winner once again from turn time. That's the end of the book. The winner was number one or two in every instance.
Was 5 out of 8 and place for us. The winner won 5 times and was number 2 3 times.
The winner was 8 out of 8 in the top 2. The place horse is 5 out of 8. Well, that in itself shows you why weighting it on with W and using that turn time to its very best advantage, because turn time then reflects the overall performance of the entire race. Does everybody get some insights into how to use that dream race matchup with the other horses? That should really show you something. All right. Now, what else does synergism have that nothing else has? The energy potential beaten lengths at the second call. Now, you're going to notice, start with any of these races. Start with the back. Let's go back to front this time. Dang, with a 3.21 energy advantage over the horse that's next to it. That doesn't mean that it's going to be 3.21 lengths ahead or that it was 3.21 lengths ahead. It means its energy capacity by its second call velocity energy shows that it is capable of being that way. Don't look into that friend of mine from Lake Tahoe and say, yeah, but he was only one length ahead. This thing's wrong. You can't. That's the potentials derived. You can use this program in many ways. Remember when we did that thing, what was the name of that horse in the yellow manual? Escobar, Cum Humilatus or Cumulentus or whatever it was. Cuplianus. Okay, we used the pace of the race that it was in. And we watched for improvement, right? In any given fraction. You can use this to set up that horse against If you put in the pace of the race it ran in every time, that'll be the dream race, obviously, unless it won all three fractions. You can see where it starts moving in its relationship to the second call. Let's see when it's coming into form. You can look at a horse. You can say, hey, this line, I don't like this line. I wonder if this line is reflective. You've got to sit at home and you're doing experimentation. Don't confuse experimentation and research with handicap. When you're handicapping, go for the money. Don't sit around and do a bunch of races you should have been doing in the experimentation when you had a rainy night on Sunday or something. But run any given horse through synergism. Run it five times. You can enter in five different races. And study the horse's pattern. Try to run by distance so you'll know how he runs it in a route and how he'll run in a sprint. And you can see where is he usually behind the second call, the pace of the race he runs in. Because when you only enter this horse against a given pace, you use an arbitrary, I don't care what pace you use, use an arbitrary pace. Set up a par pace. If it's a sprint, always use 22, 45, 110. Unless the horse is better than that, and then you're not really too worried about him, are you? So that, and then see how he relates to that in his form cycle. It'll teach you a lot about horses. And the whole secret of successful handicapping is pattern recognition. People say, how come you and Jimmy, and I took Dick over, we do the same thing, you don't win all these races, you don't even use the computer. Well, believe me, that's show off. It's not the best way to do it, because we do miss a few, and sometimes they're the big paying ones. But you can win a lot of races by just recognizing patterns, running style from pace line. And you can recognize them far better when you put this sort of thing through. And I put thousands of these through, literally, and watched and saw them. I knew nothing. An advantage over you. There isn't anybody in this room who was ever as dumb as I was about horse racing. But I could see patterns emerge.
Are you suggesting running a horse against itself or against the same field and taking different pace lines?
No, you have to run it. You can do it one or two ways. You can run it against an arbitrary pace line, 22, 45, 110, whatever. Or you can run it each time against the horse that's the best. That you automatically, you know, you're not going to run all the horses. You're going to only run it. So if you're going to put in a pace line, put in the best pace line on the page, or two pages of it. Or use an arbitrary one that's faster than anything you're going to get.
But not take each of his pace lines just to see.
Take each of his pace lines against that. Entering them as Joe 1, Joe 2, Joe 3. He's got three sprints. Put in an arbitrary pace of the race. Or the best you see on the page. But use it for all of his races. Make sure it's faster than anything he's ever run, so he'll always be behind a little. Now measure his improvement against that arbitrary pace line.
Set up a five-horse race and then just keep scratching one horse out and putting him back in to see how he works that way? Or that
anything you want with synergism. You can put in the same horse. Yeah. You can see that horse. Don't mix up his routes and his sprints or you'll wonder why the numbers are so different. But look to see what he does and where he runs well. There's no sense taking him when he got beat 40 lengths. When he's in within five, take all those races at the sprint distance or the route distance and notice his style, how he improves, where he improves, against what he improves. If he's always way behind at the second call and you've put in a 45-second call, you know the horse is never going to be in the lead if its second call is 45. You got that figured out already. So, like Jimmy says, hey, man, if this some gun can't run against a 45, that's what, you know, that's where the public doesn't do it. That one of these horses they made a favorite in here at 70 cents who's finished with the track, he had one good fraction. They made him a 70-cent favorite.
Ninth race, 10:30, the first silver hawk in the silver race, a good example. Long after the program was published. In phase three, we have certain values for the beaten lengths, and I use the same thing in synergism. It turns out to be about half. So, these are energy figures here, these beaten length projections, but you can cut them about half. So, 5.69, which is rounded off to 7 lengths, you could say first Silverhawk is only going to be about three lengths back. Bastia about three and a quarter. Radiantly about four lengths. And that's Celtic Lady about four and a half, if you want to be precise. I'm not going to change the program, and I'll tell you why. If we change the program to reality, you might get caught up in this. Start saying, well, you only got to pick up a half a length. Psychologically, I think you're better off this way, and I'm not going to change the program the way it's going to remain. But if you're nitpickers that want to be actually precise, cut it in half and it'll be real close. The values that we've established in the phase three, when I first started doing this, were very, very accurate. And you can sometimes, in fact, take a race that you've run, see the beaten lengths that were projected to each of the horses, and then go to the charts and figure it out, and you're almost exactly the way they ran the race. Yeah. Very accurate. Right. These are going to be off, but because of the sensitivity of synergism, the adjustment, you know, like I did the class adjustment, you notice I hardly ever use it when we're talking about 0.08. This is very sensitive to adjustments. So if you start making adjustments, fooling around with those figures, trying to get it a little closer together, you can throw out some winners on the loop the way it was. But if you really want to know what those figures are in terms of actual beaten length, just come in. Dan?
Just for one last review, turn to the third race, 10-30-87, near the front. Third race, 10-30-87. You've got a 70-cent favorite in here. Less than even odds. Is anybody, when you look, now if you look at the thing, you say, well, it's 3-1, he's best early. I'm ranking on early, so I'll bet that horse. Okay. Let's say that was your rationale, you ran up and bet it. It's a favorite. That makes you feel even better because everybody else agrees with you. And you've heard Tom say sometimes, I'll bet that horse. The lone one in you forgot about behind. If you think he's the lone early, now you got to worry about behind and icy. Now, that's all you've got to go on if you're a ranking specialist. If you're a junkie for rankings only, you got that to go on. Now, person who wants to say, hey, have I got any money to make in this race, or should I go with this? Looking at rankings, bet those two early horses. I'll get the place if I bet those two, the place. What do you see, once again, in IC second fraction? The horse goes kaplooey right in the toilet. Now, you're going to go, in spite of all that, would you actually go and bet a favorite or any horse that does that? What you should do is get very excited and say, man, this is the day that I'm going to break away from those $4 and $5, $6 horses, and I'm going to get myself a 1080 to start with and an 820 show horse, which in Las Vegas is going to be almost a $50, $2 quinella. As it was here, it was a $60, $2 exact.
I was at the track with this. I bet this race. I looked at the exact payoffs, and I knew Icy Mountain was going in the dump. There's no question about it, that second fraction. And I just drooled all over the place with the exact payoff. Because Icy Mountain was just bet to the fairly well in those exact pools. Everything else was an overlay. I mean, $60 to $2 exact is just ridiculous for these two horses. So I would look at my chops at this. I did not use Icy Mountain exact at all.
Okay, folks, that's it. Unless you have any more questions, thank you for coming and